And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. Tonight is a special night because it has been pre-recorded. I am at an Almeen evening where it is a full group, and it's very exciting because the energy is very pumped right now. And we're going to be talking with Almeen and do a traditional interview for the first hour. And then later on, after this evening's second show, we will air again the second hour of questions that the participants that have been at her workshop and people that know her that are here for this evening will be asking her about her work. So welcome, Almeen.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you having me.
Okay. So I'm just going to ask you to move this a little bit closer. Okay. Okay. So basically, how I usually start the evening is I usually ask a little bit about how the journey of Almeen came to this point. So if you could let us know, you know, how you came to here.
You know, it's very interesting. I told my class that would be your first question. And the journey has become one where there's no linear time, and I knew we would have difficulty with this particular question. But perhaps we can start a few years back. And that was that I was working as a Toltec Nagual, and I was working with small groups of apprentices. And then in 2005, there was a massive vision in which I was told that from that point on, the Earth would be in a very rapid ascension. And that the task that I was assigned was to gather, and these are the exact words that I didn't understand for many years, but it said, gather the pillars of my temple, gather my firstborn. And it is clear that it's the major light showers of the planet that had to actually be reminded of who they were. And this has been my mission, and since about the first week in February of 2005. We have participated in what I could never have foreseen, and that is the most massive cosmic ascension, with the Earth as the densest point of existence leading the way and being the pivot point. There are daily hours spent just understanding the changes that are going on in the cosmos. And so that has been a bit of my journey.
Hmm. I want to talk about the energies that have been changing, but I also know that you have some online school training that you're doing right now. Why don't you talk about the different training that you're doing so that people get a sense of all that you do?
Yes, I'm happy to. There are four main current sort of trends that we're doing. The first one is a very large body of information, well over 1,000 pages of written information, audio information, and video information that is the Institute of Applied Mysticism. And what it is the science of immortality and incorruptibility. It's a 3-month course, and I know for a fact it's information that is absolutely cutting edge, as to use words that have been used before here this evening, because it comes from the God Kingdom. And I wrote as rapidly as I could, it came through my pen, and it has been astonishing in changing people's lives. It starts again on the 1st of November. We have another one currently that's just open that people can actually sign up for as your show will be airing, and that is the Academy of Alchemy. And we're very fortunate to have the dean here of the Academy of Alchemy from Quebec. And the Academy of Alchemy is a similar body of information, again, 3 months long. And it was given by the angelic realms. Mm-hmm. And I literally wrote about 350 pages in a week when I was here in Toronto by going into total timelessness. And the experiences we've had with the angels connected with this angelic alchemy that works with the alchemical potencies of light and frequency and physical as well, and crystalline and gemstones. So that's number two. And then we've got another one starting out of Singapore on the 1st of November. That is another three-month course, and it's the Institute of the Human Potential. So the Institute of Human Potential is what they would do a search for. It starts then, and it has within it the hidden secrets of the earth. Incredible information about the 130 hidden libraries, about the races, about the fact that much of what we think, oh my gosh, I wish I weren't human, when we listen to things like the Holocaust and so on, really never did originate from humans. And so the agendas behind the scenes, and the goal, of course, is to set mankind free from guilt. And yet again, it starts on the 1st of November, and it runs every 3 months. And then the fourth thing is my pet project. Please let me tell about it.
Absolutely.
Okay. My brothers and sisters, I thought that I had to translate the crop glyphs in January. Wrong. It suddenly just was necessary, and it started in August. The crop glyphs of Wiltshire told a rather chilling tale of nanotechnology that is being used, that is from many different quarters. There are little what we call spy bots that is produced by humans, but many of them don't actually even come from here. They've drawn them in the fields of Wiltshire. They've discovered them in the mountains in Russia, that's the Ural Mountains, and they've now discovered a couple of other sites. The Ural Mountain ones are 0.0003 micron small, clearly artificially produced, and currently the scientists working on them say that they're 200,000 years old. Well, the bottom line of it is that black light and black frequency has been used against humankind, like the HARP project. Mind control uses subliminal light that we don't even know is there. It can be going on while we're watching a nice family movie. So for the first time, we were given the technology to actually get rid of this in the body. And it's a matter of combining black and white frequency and light in music in exact equal proportions, because when that occurs, it dissolves illusion. And so I have been just in an incredible splurge of music that has come through from many different quarters. We've just received 7 Star Aces music. It's like nothing I've ever heard. And it is the only benign technology that actually counters this. When I started singing it, I couldn't walk. The uric acid that was pouring out of my limbs, my sound producer, we had to every few days take a break because of the incredible purification that was going on in the body. And that has been a delight to produce. We've got the 18 sound elixirs. We heard a little tiny snippet of that this evening. And that is $18 that people can use. But we also produce, and it's on special till Christmas, we also produce a specific sound elixir for each person that is entirely a unique piece of music, about 3.5 minutes long. And it's one off. The words of the infinite comes in the infinite's language. It's spoken on 2 layers of music, multiple layers of instrumentation, one off song per person. And they can find that on angelsoundhealing.com. There, I've said it all. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Well, I get your passion from this. So talk about, I mean, you've said it all, but where did this come from? How did you connect in with this? What is it that we're to be learning about this without getting into the fear that will, you know, bring us down?
There are 3 things happening that should make it absolutely not something to fear. Number one, we are given technologies. They are so potent in the way they're working, these sound technologies. And for instance, there's a free sound healing that's given on the website. If you have the 18 sound elixirs for $18, it tells you how to use them on your neighbors, on your town. Multiple tools are being given. Example, in the Academy of Alchemy are the gates of the angels that they began to give in the Middle Ages to the Enochian alchemists of the day, but they didn't give it fully. We have the full deal. You can use one of those gates. You can use your sound healing through it. You can leave the gates open for 24 hours. It will broadcast because those gates are meant to go to large groups of people. We can broadcast them to large nations at a time. That's why they were so well hidden. Oh, what a journey to get all the pieces to those gates.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been given the technology. The second thing is, my brothers and sisters, even in this day, what has happened in the cosmos, I mean, it leaves me speechless. I know that we've encountered a lot of earth changes, but part of it is because of this massive cosmic transition. And as we transition, we will transition. If it's not today, it might be next month, but we will be transitioning out of the reality where such things can be done to humans. And then, you know, the third thing is that if black light, let's say HARP, is sent at us, if we raise the white light, the perception, the illumination of our lives high, and for instance, in the Institute of Applied Mysticism, the entire first month is 144 illuminations, seeing behind illusions we thought were wonderful, like wisdom, truth. What are we really talking about? Many of them are illusions, and I didn't know it. But it was in the material that came in from the God kingdom. And so as we raise our light, the more black light they send, if we balance the black light, which the major way showers like yourself, we can do this. Remember, when they're even, the black and the white light, they cancel out illusion. So we literally start to use their technologies against them by canceling out illusion, by raising our own light higher.
Hmm.
So there's good news, good news, good news.
And there's a lot of other news out there that is trying to create this fear and to,
yes,
you know, certainly keep us stuck in that illusion that we've been in. And so what is going on? Because the energies are so dramatic in the,
yes,
last few months. Even since, you know, the early, late spring.
Yes.
It's just been so incredible and so intense. Some people say, you know, it's to really kick our butts. Some people, you know, it's I guess it's where you're at and where you need to go. But there's just been so much happening.
First of all, you know, if there's a specific thing that you want to ask about, you'd literally have to tell me because I live like a hermit. I spend about 6 hours a day in other realms, and then when I'm here, I work very hard to write and daily diary and everything else. So, you know, unless there's a specific thing, I will address the intensity because that I'm very aware of. This intense increase in everything. The tools that have been coming to us have increased. The crop glyphs have increased. The catastrophes globally increased. So this intense increase, that I can address. Let us imagine that life has been in a soap bubble, and or this soap bubble is floating within infinite beingness. If anything that contains is a matrix, and it has to be an illusion. You cannot divide the ocean. You can put a bucket in the bottom of the ocean, but the ocean's might will push against that bucket until it's gone. The pushing has become more and more felt. Now, this is the first time these words are coming out of my mouth, so this is news to me. The pushing has been more and more intense because the bucket's walls got thinner and thinner and thinner. We have dealt with a bubble inside a bubble inside a bubble. I have been working, and in fact, I won't wrap this in tissue paper. I'll tell you that it's sometimes been extremely discouraging, because since 2005, the major thrust of the work has been bursting the bubbles. And as one bubble after the other has burst, it has seemed as though it goes on forever. We started in the beginning of 2007. I got information from the infinite. You know, I speak daily with the infinite in traveling between the realms, and I got the information that it's time to unravel the building blocks of life. And we found that really life was like a flat television screen. We speak of our masters as having gotten out of the matrix, but all they've done is to expand to the edges of the screen. They've gone the wide screen. The masses in the street are in their reference point, so they're contracted, and there's expansion. And but that's still a flat surface. It's still two-dimensional. Anything that's created on a two-dimensional flat surface comprised of the building blocks of life, which are these quantum physics level particles that we have had in seven different octaves of frequency, you are dealing with linear creation, exclusiveness in linear creation. In other words, things are created in generations. When that's the case, you're literally dealing with electrical creation like cloning. Creation has been like cloning. And I didn't realize this till I interpreted a crop glyph in Wiltshire that happened in August. There's a jellyfish with tentacles down the side. And from the belly of the jellyfish, smaller and smaller circles, seven of them go. It means that seven generations of life have been created from the seven levels of building blocks, seven directions. The Toltecs call it the vast bands of compassion. And each one has gotten weaker and weaker and weaker. This is what happens with cloning. We've been on the two-dimensional screen. My sister, what this is all about is that we have just in the last week done the final healing cosmically and as light workers on the planet to heal the beginning of duality. And the beginning of duality is the separation between creation and creator, which the last soap bubble was popped last night, Toronto time, about 10:45. And this is what it's been working up with, this absolute momentum, like a baby that has to be birthed. And so, you know, the uterus ruptures. This is what we've been working up towards. Isn't that amazing?
It sounds very exciting. What will it mean for us? What will we see? How will it change? What will happen in our everyday life?
See, the changes have to be huge because the root duality is healed. The separation of creator and creation. There is, you know, in the illuminations we got from the gods, it says there can be no creation. Within the ocean, nothing new out of the ocean can be created. Well, for us in reality, it's got to do huge things. You know, I have since October of last year, when many of the light worker teachers were saying, you know, we're heading for a financial collapse and so on, I've been like the little flag in the desert saying, no, you know, there's going to be major reshuffling because there's overinflated debt structure and overinflated values given to empty shells. There'll be a reshuffling, but we will not have a financial collapse. This should be stronger now. The reason it has gotten stronger every few months, because cosmically, that which was taken or drained from one area to the other has been restituted. In other words, it's been evened out. As it's done cosmically, the debts on Earth also get evened out. And our financial system, which, you know, must make way for bartering eventually, but it will hold. So I think number one is we're going to see stronger financial structures everywhere, and eventually people getting sick of the financial system and doing what they often do in Russia, they barter. I produce this, you produce that, we exchange what it's worth to us. So the next thing where we're going to see change, it has to be, is that there would be more peace. And the reason is that there has been a conflict between creator and creation within that soap bubble, which we can describe as creation or the matrix. And the conflict has been that the walls of the soap bubble is like a mirror, and it has produced a back-to-front image of the infinite within the mirror. And that which is opposite to that which is life-enhancing becomes a conflict. So, because the cosmic conflict is solved, conflicts on Earth should become easier. So that's number two. And then I am quite sure that there will be more empowerment on an individual level. I think that's the benefit of some of these major financial shuffles, that people know that there's things they can't depend on, but they can depend on this, their sustenance coming from their own being. There should be more strength and more empowerment for people everywhere.
Well, that's encouraging, absolutely. And
absolutely.
I think, you know, a lot of people hope, or I want to say no, but I don't know that a lot of people do. I think they get caught up in their everyday lives. And, you know, we shift out. We want to be in that place. We want to hold that light. We want to stay in that centeredness and knowing. But, you know, life happens and we get, you know, pulled out again.
Yes.
And and with all the stuff that's been sort of pushed into us, we get caught up. We get in a place where we're not feeling that centeredness and that wholeness. So what can we do to assist in staying very centered and staying in that place?
What pulls us out is mind. And there are 13 different minds, according to the information that I've just received, actually, about a 2 weeks ago when I was in New York. There are 13 different minds, and they vary, and I won't go through them here, but they vary all the way from racial mind to instinctual mind to group mind, such as people in a company, you know, thinking with one mind, one heart, people that have the same heart goals. And then within ourselves, there are multiple minds. At the end of the day, there are incredibly sacred tools given in these courses to eliminate mind. But aside from that, what the person in the street can do is the fact that they can start to question everything. It's a way that is called stalking oneself by Toltecs. And what it is that you ask why you do things. So much of what we do is that we are taught that something is a certain way. You know, I have a beautiful little Plains Cree daughter that I've been raising as a single mom since I adopted her at 9 months, and she's 10 years old now. I told her not to do it in front of other kids because I don't want them to catch fire. But, you know, I've never told her that she will burn in fire. And she puts her little hands right inside the fire. And, you know, the moms weren't real happy with that. So I told her, just we do this in our house. If you want to wash your hands, you can wash it in the water. You can wash it in the fire. But there is no need for her to be programmed that fire is hot when it's actually at this high level of existence. It's light. She was very ill before I got her. And after I got her, she's been in the hospital once with a nosebleed. And she does not get ill. She knows that if she's ill, it's because she's ignoring something inside, and we look what it is, and she fixes it, and she is better within hours. So she just doesn't get sick, and we don't even have a doctor for her. I have one that sort of has her on the books just in case, but she's never used him. So, you know, the programming that we have been steeped in, all the way from childhood up, how to be a parent, all over the world, the masters in my classes are saying to me, you know, we know we're not our child's parent. We're its steward. Just to wipe its little nose, but the bottom line of it is tuck it in, give it love. But at the end of the day, the wisdom of this little being in my house is so profound, I can only call my child a master. And so it's where does our programming come from to start to question and to get free from it. And one of the big ones is the illusion of our personal identities and labels. That's a really big one. And don't let people put you in boxes. See, Simon had a point there. We just don't let people put us in boxes. And we don't do it for each other, actually. And that's why he's always a little nonplussed as to how to introduce me, because I couldn't introduce him either. When I look at him, I mean, any of the people in my class, you know, I actually translated something that came in from one of the star races, and it says that the answer to the starry skies is the infinite within you. And in every, the foundations of every soul is good, and in it lies their knowingness like diamonds in the dust. And it's exquisite writing, but it means that we're infinite. And if we start to live from a larger and larger and larger perspective until eventually we know we are all things, then we go to the depths below this flat screen. And this we've been doing for 3 weeks. My students and myself, we go below the screen, and there is such an infinite depth. We've never experienced anything like it. And yet again, I found I had an identity. I thought I'd lost identity many, many years ago, and I keep bumping into them. But the identity of creation as the only reality, when there is this incredible depth of beingness beneath, is yet another identity. The labels, the identities, are also keeping us in mind, and mind pulls us out of the effortless knowingness.
Mm-hmm. Identities is a big one because, well, it's how we answer that question, who are you, right? Yeah. It's, well, nice to meet you, what do you do, or who are you, or, you know, yes. So we get caught up because it's very easy. And, you know, we are in a relationship, so we're a girlfriend, we're a mother, we're a daughter, we're, you know, we have all of these things. I'm a radio show, whatever.
Yes.
so we have these identities. And yet they're all ego. They're all a way to define and put us in a box. How do we step outside of that? How do we, what gifts do we give? And when you say, go under the screen, that sounds incredibly powerful. What is that like? What does that mean?
So let's take a look at the words that you've just spoken. The point of the matter is that anything that can be defined is unreal. That's number one. And it's something to remind ourselves of, simply because of this human addiction to seek a reference point because of fear of his own vastness. So if we define ourselves, we are giving ourselves an unreal layer to this realness that exists. And I can share with you how we look at our bodies at this point, my students and myself, as we've been. See, we travel every day together because I have two places where the information is put. May I share that?
Absolutely.
The one is Almine Wisdom Twitter, and you don't need an account to be able to access every day these insights as they come, is put on Almine Wisdom Twitter. Plus, we're taking interdimensional photos almost daily now. I mean, we had two brothers in class today take the same interdimensional photo above my chair. It's nice when a couple of cameras pick up the same thing. And also when two people see the same thing, we had two people see the same visions, the same beings in the class, etc. So the photos, the wisdom goes there. But the other place where we hold hands as we walk this journey together is the diary. And it's almindiary.com. And every day these things are put on. The sayings that came in from the Barugala race of the Andromedans to us yesterday is on today's diary. By tomorrow, you know, who knows what they'll be. But so when I say my students and I, it's that worldwide, wherever we are, we're sharing it on the diary, and there's forums everywhere. You know, each institute has a virtual forum that where their students meet, and then we have additional forums where they discuss things. So what we have been we've been saying is, look, first, if it can be defined, it's not real. Secondly, if something is defined or identified by what it's not real. Something as basic as shape. If you look at, okay, you're there, but you're not there. So that makes a definition by default, by what you're not. So how we, shall I share sort of how we do look at form in ourselves? We know ourselves to be the absolute oneness of life. In the class this afternoon, there was such an incredible experience where we had, where it was as though all creation for ourselves were being shut down. Just the one life left. And it's important to do a meditation like that, or an experience like that. I mean, it was so real. Simply because we hold onto creation because of this existentialist feeling that if there's not form, then there might be nothing. There is this incredible comfort of relaxing all form and being in oneness. So what then is form when space, direction, if anything like that, is in fact an illusion? What there is a specific emphasis. If I'm sitting here, my brother Jim is in the front row, I am him, he is me. We're one life. If I want to be him, I have to emphasize in me what it's like to be him. He has a special song that he sings that changes moment by moment, so I can never think I have him labeled. Every moment as the one life unfolds through us, we're new. And so I'm him if I emphasize his note. Otherwise, in the oneness of our being, I emphasize my note. Those are the things that give rise to the imagining that we have a shape. It's not that we're formless, because both form and formlessness is opposite. It's forming formlessness. Every moment new, a little bit like the shape of the river. And so we look at ourselves as an emphasis in oneness.
Okay. So when people talk about how we are an individuated aspect of God, that's still a label.
And it's actually still a separate thing.
Yes.
Because, and by the way, we've done that. I've got to be the only teacher that makes herself wrong as often as I do. I mean, you know, all I can do is share today's highest truth, but at the speed we're traveling, I know that a lot of what I say tonight might not be correct tomorrow. So I have absolutely said we are an aspect of the infinite one life. But an aspect vis-a-vis the infinite is like a part of it. And I have said we're like the feet of the dancer, and the dancer dances through us. So, you know, for us to try and do our own thing is to just totally lose the exquisite beauty of this dance of the infinite life that moves through us. But all of those things still indicate relationship. And there is only one being in existence, so there can be no relationship. So we've taken the aspect of the infinite to the next level of I am the infinite. And my expression in this form is an emphasis of the one life. Since there's only one being in existence, it's the logical conclusion.
And that's what we have a problem with, though. That's that issue that we see ourselves as separate. We see people as separate, yes. And we want relationship with people.
Yeah.
But we're not, it's too much for the mind to comprehend as to what that would be without form.
Perhaps a way to say it is to say that there is the ocean, and there is, for instance, the Japanese current. There's the Falkland current. There's the Agulhas current. There's the Mozambique current in it. These are to the ocean the way our sub-personalities are to us. We have the inner child. We have the inner nurturer. We have the inner warrior. Yet they are us. That's the first step. But at the end of the day, there are no sub-personalities. They are just nuances of our expression. So we can look at ourselves not as a separate current, but instead as the ocean. And we choose to play in this specific place off, say, Falkland Islands as the Falkland Current. You start out by saying we're an integrated field, layers of expression. Then you realize there can be no divisions in the ocean. And eventually you say, I am the field being the one life. And I can choose to express as Jim or as myself. And that's really when the miracles begin.
And so when you talk about being under the shield, you're talking about being under the matrix, you're talking about being part of that connection.
Exactly.
And being formless.
Yes. The matrix has been dissolved within the cosmos. Absolutely. You know, every day I just want to know in my heart that everything is exactly the way it should be. But I don't know whether people's lives have entirely changed or not overnight. How would we? If everything in the world became 200% larger immediately, how would we know that? Because, you know, there's no frame of reference. So I don't know how people's lives have changed. All of them may be matrix-free. However, it could well be that some of them are still making for themselves a flat, two-dimensional disc because of belief systems that they live in. But it has been that pain in the heart of light workers, that divine discontent that they know they are imprisoned by illusion. And it is illusion, and it is also, you know, there can be no form, nor formlessness for that matter, within the infinite. The formlessness, this is an interesting thing. Can I share this with you? See, the formlessness is the soul. For the longest time, I have tried to figure out where the soul comes from. Because, see, we've assumed that the body comes from the soul. The soul manifests the body. But I could never, in all of my travels, and, you know, we've got an online book that we're just getting ready to print in hard copy, The Seer's Journey, and it speaks of my search through time and space and realms. It is the first time that I tell the story. And it's along the lines of Khalil Gibran's work. I'm very proud to say, because I happen to love his book, The Prophet. And it's along those lines. It's about the same size and width and everything as well. I could never find the connection between soul and source. And I would have thought they'd be right next to each other. They weren't. Soul came from, and this we only uncovered recently in translating 24 tablets that were given to us to translate. Holy tablets that come out of one of the libraries in the Middle East. And I've just this morning completed the 24th tablet, and it spoke about what happened last night, the end of this matrix that is two-dimensional. So in these tablets, it speaks about the body and equates it to the little tiny building blocks of life. Through the heart of the building blocks, the fields that scientists have discovered that lie behind these quantum physics particles is, they think that the fields came from, you know, produced the particles. The infinite shines its luminosity through the heart of a building block, let's say an electromagnetic particle. And the reflection is the field. It's electromagnetic, so it can hold memory, etc., etc. The soul is like the reflection that is cast as the luminosity of the infinite being shines through the body, whether the body is physical or in the spirit world. But I understood this when I translated these records. So the formlessness of the illusion of our identity has been the soul. It's been what we call individuation. The body is the form, but equally it has given us an identity. Within the one life, there is self-awareness, but there is no self-individuation. I had to let this one go A week ago when I had a Colorado pod, I'll confess that I was a little nervous about that one. Because, you know, individuation, I really thought was something that was there eternally. It's not. And the bliss and the peace and the depth and the incredible quickness with which things can be seen and the beautiful increased miracles in my class that we've just in our third day now. But the ability to see the same things, I've always had the masters in my classes see things in the class and photograph them. It's been going on for months. We've got a whole website of interdimensional photos. But at the same time, we've never had them see it at the same time. You know, and this is, and photograph it at the same time. This is very exciting. Things are just moving upwards. Mm-hmm. So I know there's the voices out there saying things are going straight down. I'm saying things have shot up.
Yeah, and there are those voices, but it's been too intense to believe that it's, you know, going the other way because we're all, you know, holding that vision that it has to be, well, it's everything's increasing. So it's increasing so dramatically that, you know, those people that can't get there or are resistant to getting there or not wanting change are feeling it really hard. But the ones that are ready to embrace change and to ready to really be open are also being able to use that energy. And I'm thinking about what you're talking about with regards to the soul, and it's really a lot to get.
It is. I translated that. What? The soul is another form, because it's individuation. It's another form of identity. It's a layer in the ocean, you see. And we're not a layer in the ocean. We're the ocean. It was a lot to get for me. I only translated a few days ago. Yeah. You know, well, actually, in Colorado last weekend.
So it's the soul holds our past lives, is that what it's holding? Is that the
it's
part of the
It's holding memory,
form?
For sure.
Yeah.
It was holding memory. And so we kept, you know, trying to create a better life for us. And so, my sister, I didn't see this. Thank you. What you've just said is a huge answer for me. Because I could not understand why we would keep re-manifesting such illusion when we keep changing it. It's because of the magnetic component in soul holding on to the past history. Can you believe that we missed that? I agree. Thank you. Because, I mean, there's so much work that has gone on now for a full 2.5 years on eliminating areas where magnetics have held memory. Like an a magnetic tape. It holds the memory in the magnetic, the electric translates it. Soul is electromagnetic field. That's the culprit. And it's part of that disc of life, that screen. So, you know, screen dissolved last night. This is going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think we can even try to understand what that's going to mean in the next little while.
I mean, you're right. Now, I will tell you, you know, I you're right. I mean, everything is so new and one can feel it. But I will tell you from a line through a dot what could be the case. See, today, it started with a discussion this morning about this garbage dump that had been planned for Toronto that was next, right? And very good work by the light workers pushed it completely off the table at this point. But what that was about, we started to see all the we had garbage dumped on the doorstep where we go into the building, and everywhere was this garbage dumping issue. We started to realize that once we understand that we are not just creation, we are that which lies beyond creation, and creation is a misnomer. It's not a right word, because nothing can ever be created. It's emphasis of the nuances, the flavors of the infinite's being. So it's not new. It's never been new. But once we get this larger, that I am the I am the one life, which is the goal for everybody, that there is a very strong possibility that what we emit is so potent and so pure that many in our environment will not be able to deal with it. Because we have had this morning two times when the Infinite gave us instruction to sit down and clear our life of the invasion of the sanctity of our being. You know, and we started looking. I mean, some of us, the only sacred space they could find was next to the boiler or the generator down in the basement, you know, and criticism from family of how life should be lived. Others had noise pollution. Others had disrespect in spades. And we recognized that this invasion, it was imperative to create the sacredness of our being. We do not need to engage with other people, but we become their sanctuary when we stay in our own sacred space and they're in our present. It becomes, I think, the Andromedans called it the sanctuary of complete acceptance. Because we can see their perfection. We also can see that it is necessary at all times to maintain this silence of beingness that is the sacred space of oneness. Because it creates a sanctuary, not just for a small group, but for the whole earth, for eventually for all creation. Because we know it to be in us, and if we maintain the silence while knowing these things to be in us, this is the greatest gift we can give ourselves as the one life, which means everybody. And so just to continue with that, we recognize that sometimes friends with good intentions can invade your space. They don't give you time to have supper. They call you at 7 in the morning. You know, they don't honor when you've been sick and you just need a little bit of space or some such thing, right? So whatever people do, that it could also be duty. People are very diligent, but they're going to call you on Sunday night with duties. You know, it could be something like, I want to be in your presence, but I can't, so I'm going to annoy you by sending 6 pages of facts instead of 2 sentences so that I have your attention. It could be, I'm enthusiastic, I can't stand it, I have to share it with you, and all this clatter. And then it could just simply be total disrespect. And so the essential part is to create the sacred space in our life. Lightworkers tend to think of it as exclusive, when it is not exclusive, because you know without a shadow of a doubt that there's only one being. And you also know you're it. You know, so, and you know your other brother and sister is. There's nothing exclusive about that. But so what am I deducing from this? To answer what you were saying, I am deducing that as more and more people get that there's only one being and they are it, their body and their life is just an emphasis within their being, that the gap might well open between those that get it and those that don't. And in that case, it is imperative that we maintain the sanctity of our life, that we take time for deep, meaningful awareness of the exquisiteness that is part of life, our food, the sun coming up, anything.
I think learning to appreciate and have gratitude in our lives is, you know, that aspect that we need to embrace almost every moment of the day, to allow that feeling to connect, that place to be in, yes, that centered spot. We just forget so often. Yeah. I mean, I'm not talking for everybody, but I'm talking about myself. I mean, it's easy to get caught up in the everyday life. As much as I, you know, do that body focus, get back in, get centered, it's just easy to get caught up.
You know, I remember a few years ago I was speaking at one of our weekly meetings when I was in Toronto, and a brother said to me, what's the point of all this metaphysical cosmology? What's the point? How is it going to help me? And in looking back over the year, I was contemplating this actually right before this evening's talk, looking at the students, for instance, our facilitator, Simon, here in Toronto, we've been together well over 10 years. Initially, it started that we would see the cosmology, then we'd be in our daily life. We'd see it, we'd be in our daily life, like a bifurcation, you know, split. Eventually, they came more and more and more and more together. Thanks to my incredibly good IT team, that because no, I'm not even computer literate, right?
Yeah, I hear that you actually write with a pen. You don't. That's great.
Can you believe it? I understand why. For the first time in the last few weeks, I've always known I'm not to be computer literate. But regardless of that, the point is that we have closed and closed and closed the gap. It took years for us to do that, where we are living this cosmology, and what the benefit of it is that it helps us not forget. We don't get so caught up that we forget. And the daily diary is a large part of it. Because, like, for instance, if tonight on the diary, by midnight possibly tonight, Toronto time, it will be on the diary that today is the day of cleaning the garbage dumps in our life by no longer disrespecting ourselves as the one life, but by living in sanctity. Now see, all over we will be working on the same thing then. So it's just kind of closed the gap is my first point. The second point of it is, you know, when this happened last night, I was on a radio show and I was speaking and I was reading to them that the tablets I'd translated, and I could hear the infinite proclaim in the infinite language into the cosmos. And I said, look, let's just stop because something big is happening. And as I listened and translated for them, as the words came through, I usually speak the language and then I translate, as the words came through, it said, this is at an end. This dream, this bubble, and it wasn't called that, but this bubble in beingness never has been. By knowing it, its last little matrix can just dissolve. Mm-hmm. And that happened last night. I was shaking by the time I had translated the infinite language as it came through. See, what is the point of it? I went to bed. I was stunned by what just had happened. And I was saying, yeah, this is not a fun game. Why did we just do this? And it gets back to exactly what you're saying. When you raise children and say you're a wealthy parent, I often have parents that work their way up from dirt poor homes into wealth so they can provide for their children. And their greatest grief is, my children don't appreciate anything. And I say, but my brother or my sister, I don't. How could they? They don't know any life without it. Before we had this dream, this bubble, which we really didn't have, it was just a momentary imagining. Before we had it, all we knew was eternal, timeless life. There is now, after we have pretended that such a thing as death exists, there is now a refined appreciation and enjoyment for the unfoldment of the expression of the one life that we are. It's like the child that's finally been poor, and now they appreciate the wealth. So there, it has brought us gratitude for life. And you know what was interesting? Can I just tell you this bit? See, I've been speaking, and it changed in 2007. The infinite's language, after a bubble burst inside the bubble, changed from a language that had most consonants in it to a language that didn't have R and F, a whole other language. I've been speaking this all along. that's the language the infinite speaking, and when I translate it for people, I repeat the language, I repeat the English for it. All of a sudden, last night, when this bubble burst, ancient language that I've only encountered one time on one of these holy palaces doors came through. It was the infinite's language. Now, what? You know, because I'm translating it, it's speaking very rapidly. Now, I said on the radio, I said, I've never, I haven't spoken this. I mean, it's eons old. And I said, it's eons old. And so the infinite said, no. This entire dream we've been in has been a nanosecond. It hasn't been ages because we're in timelessness. Really, it hasn't happened because there's no time. It's been a loop of time. That flat screen was like a disc that would turn, and that was where the time was. So it's not that this is an ancient language spoken by the infinite eons ago. It's that you never left. Nothing ever happened. It's still the same language. It was like a loop in time that began and ended at the exact same timeless space.
That's powerful.
Yeah. Oh, my sister, I am in total awe of life. Unbelievable awe. My class asked me on Monday to basically to say my note, who am I? And I was just speechless because all I could say is I'm an absolute child playing in a garden of self-discovery. I am awestruck by every little bit of it. It brings tears to my eyes that we are permitted to see such things.
Yeah. Well, this has been a great honor, and I've really, really appreciated this. We're almost to our hour now, and so I'm going to set it up so that we can have people come up and ask questions. But a great honor and great blessing to have had you on the show. I hope to do this again sometime because I think it would be amazing.
I'd love to, my sister. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
The new work that you're doing,
the sound elixirs.
Yes. They're available on your website. Are they for download or are they a CD that comes?
Yes. Currently they're not a CD that comes.
Okay. That's great.
they're downloadable. So
perfect.
You can just go and get them. Okay. And as I said, the 18 is only $18.
Yeah.
And we've had incredible results from those.
Perfect. So I think, you know, hopefully a lot of people will connect in with that get that from here. Great. So again, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we're going to open up to having people come up.
Thank you.